And can you kind of go through specifically what was seen in terms of both of those questions?
Yeah, so for the non-inferiority question, there's about 1,000 patients in both arms of that, Zelox versus FOLFOX, and the hazard ratios are very similar to each other, and there's absolutely no chance statistically that there is an inferiority of Zelox. And so we're quite confident, we're even more confident now, we've got overall survival statistics to back that up. So we're quite confident that Zelox is non-inferior to FOLFOX. To all intents and purposes, it's the same. The lines cross each other, depending on the populations you use, the intention-to-treat population, or the eligible patient population, as it's called. The lines are slightly different one from another, but in essence, you could put them all on the same graph. So we're pretty happy that Zelox is non-inferior. The other bit, of course, about trying to pick a winner out of these is what's the side effect profile? Because clearly that's important. And here what we've got is that, in my mind, there isn't a clear winner to that discussion. And what you end up with is a bit more diarrhoea, about double the amount of grade 3 and 4 diarrhoea, from 10% to 20% with the Zelox regimen. But you get much more neutropenic problems with the FOLFOX regimen. Now, neutropenia is largely asymptomatic with no consequences in the FOLFOX regimen, but about 5% of patients get grade 3, 4 neutropenia, in other words, the more serious grades of neutropenia, against only 1% in the Zelox. Everything else, all the other side effects, are actually very similar one to another. So I find it difficult to pick a winner based on efficacy, because there isn't any difference really, and I find it difficult to pick a winner based on the side effect profile. It's a trade-off, one side effect profile against another. What swings it for me is what we started off with, which was the hypothesis that this would be a simpler treatment for patients. It would be easier to deliver. It would have all of those convenience bits to it. And of course, it does have all of those. So for me, that's what swings it. That's what makes the Zelox regimen the better regimen to pick.
What would be the explanation for the neutropenia?
The neutropenia has been seen with the FOLFOX regimen in all of its different trials.
As opposed to Zelox, though?
Who knows? You know, the infusional 5-FU presumably has a synergistic effect in the marrow with oxaliplatin, whereas capecitabine doesn't. And because theoretically, at least, you shouldn't be able to convert capecitabine so efficiently to 5-FU in the marrow. So you can make, you know, plausible biological explanations for that. But certainly within the trial, those two bits of toxicity data match with what we've seen with FOLFOX before, and they match with what we've seen with Zelox before. So we weren't terribly surprised by them, in fact.
What fraction of these patients were from US and non-US, and what dose was used?
Most of the people ended up being outside the US. The reason being, when we started the trial initially, we had centres all over the world, and the US recruitment was high. When Avastin became a registered drug in the US, it became difficult to randomise patients. So the recruitment from North America reduced in that second part of the trial. So that meant that the proportion of patients from the US was consequently much less. The Zelox dosing is the standard Zelox dosing of 1,000 milligrams per meter squared of capecitabine and oxaliplatin at 130 milligrams. And the FOLFOX regimen, the FOLFOX 4 regimen, is the standard FOLFOX 4 5-FU flunic acid with a bolus on both days of 5-FU and oxaliplatin at 85 milligrams per meter squared given every 2 weeks. So obviously there's a difference in the scheduling, a 3-week schedule versus a 2-week schedule.